We're going to begin a new study in Proverbs, and I am going to begin by just giving an overview of the whole book, which we've done before, but we need to refresh ourselves. Proverbs, okay. Proverbs, it's really not that hard to break down. Thank you. We've got Solomon's praising of wisdom in chapter 1 through chapter 9. There's an introduction in chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. We'll look at as much of that as we can tonight. And then wisdom is pictured as a righteous woman as opposed to the evil woman. That's in chapter 1, verses 8 through chapter 9, verse 18. Then we've got miscellaneous proverbs by Solomon, single verse proverbs from chapter 10, verse 1, through chapter 22, verse 16, single verse proverbs. And then in 10:1 to 15:33, there's proverbs that use contrast to teach us the truth. And in 16:1 to 22:16, parallelism is used to teach. And if I've lost you already, we'll discuss that when we get to those points. Then in chapter 22, verse 17 to chapter 24, verse 22, there are 30 sayings that are referred to usually as words of wisdom. There are sayings which are parallel in Egyptian wisdom in chapter 22, verse 17 to 23. Chapter 22, verse 17 through chapter 23, verse 12. Sayings that are paralleled in Egyptian wisdom. And then there's sayings with no parallel in the wisdom of the Egyptians in chapter 23, verse 13 to chapter 24, verse 22. And there's an appendix to the words of wisdom in chapter 24, just in verses 23 and 24. In chapter 25, verse 1 to the end of chapter 29, there are Proverbs of Solomon that have been edited by Hezekiah's men. And then there's some final passages, the words of Agur in chapter 30 and the words of Lemuel in chapter 31, verses 1 to 9. And then, of course, the great passage on the virtuous woman in chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. The key word in Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom is a spiritual matter of the heart. And Proverbs mentions three classes of men who are in desperate need of wisdom: the fool, the simple, and the scorner. The fool, the simple, and the scorner. And you can see all three of these in chapter 1, verse 22. The fool hates instruction. We're told in chapter 1, verse 7, chapter 1, verse 22. He is self-confident, 12:15. He talks without thinking, 29:11. Makes a mock at sin, chapter 14, verse 9. That's the fool. Then the simple is the one who believes everything and everybody, chapter 14, verse 15. The simple. And so because of that, the simple is easily led astray because he lacks understanding. Chapter 7, verse 7. Can't see ahead, 22, verse 3. And so he's always walking into trouble. And then the scorner. The scorner mocks at wisdom because it's too high for him. Chapter 14, verse 6 tells us. He feels like he knows everything, 21, verse 24. And since he never profits from rebuke, according to chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, chapter 13, verse number 1, he will be judged. Chapter 19, verse 25, the scorner will be judged. Wisdom calls out to all three classes of these men in chapter 1, verse 22. Wisdom calling out. Wisdom makes a second call in chapter 8, verse 5. And at that time, the call does not include the scorner because he laughed and mocked at the first call in chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. And as a result, the scorner got destruction, chapter 6, verse 32. And then the third call is made by wisdom in chapter 9, verse 4. But then this time it's only to the simple, because the fool decided to follow folly, foolishness, and received death, chapter 8, verse 36, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And then the simple, at last, rejected the call of wisdom and ended up in hell in chapter 9, verse 18, and also 7:37. All right, to contrast these three classes of truth rejectors, we have the wise men who listen to instruction. Okay, chapter 1, verse 5, who obeys what he hears, chapter 10, verse 8. Stores what he learns, chapter 10, verse 14. The wise man wins others to the Lord, chapter 11, verse 30, and flees from sin, chapter 14, verse 16. Watches his tongue, chapter 16, verse 23, and is diligent in daily work, chapter 10, verse 5. So the key word in Proverbs, as I said, is wisdom. The key expression, though, is the fear of the Lord. That's an expression that's found 14 times in the book of Proverbs. And we have also set forth in Proverbs the path of wisdom. The path of wisdom in chapters 2 to 4. It'll call it paths or ways. Okay, one of those two terms, and it's used many times. 2:8, 2:9, 2:13, 2:15, 18, 19, 20, chapter 3, verse 6, verse 17, chapter 4, verse 11, verse 14, 17, 18, 25, 26, paths or ways of wisdom. In chapter 2, we see that wisdom protects our path. Our paths, according to verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, by giving divine armor, verse 7, by guarding the way, verse 8, it protects us from disobedient men, verses 12 to 15, and protects us from strange women. That sounds funny. That's in verses 16 to 22, chapter 2. In chapter 3, wisdom directs our paths, verses 5 and 6. If we listen to the Lord, in verses 1 to 4, and trust the Lord with all our heart, lean not unto our own understanding, that's in verse 5. Obey the Lord, in verse 6. Fear the Lord, verse 7. Honor the Lord, verse 9. And submit to the Lord, verse 11. In chapter 4, wisdom perfects our paths, verse 18. And the way gets brighter. The way gets brighter. The first 13 verses in chapter 4 tell what wisdom will do for us. And then verses 20 to 27 tell us how to treat wisdom. It's chapter 4. And there's many things we're going to see set forth in the book of Proverbs, and including things that are said to be abominations. And that's a deep but very interesting study. We'll take time for some of that at some point as we go through. Things that are said to be abominations. There's also a great wealth of information about the tongue You probably knew that. If you study everything that the book of Proverbs says about the tongue, you'll have yourself a busy time there. It talks about the right purpose of the tongue, talks about the many different sins of the tongue, different things for which the tongue can be used that are dreadful things. And Proverbs discusses actions or inactions that tend to result in poverty. Okay, things such as withholding more than is meet, more than is proper. Chapter 11, verse 24, that'll lead you into poverty, if that's your way. Okay, refusing instruction, that'll put you in the poorhouse. In chapter 13, verse 18, idle talking, chapter 14, verse 23, love of sleep. Obviously, you're going to have a hard time keeping a job. Chapter 20, verse 13, if you can't get to work on time. Oppressing the poor and giving to the rich, 22:16. Drunkenness, gluttony, drowsiness, in chapter 23, verse 21. Good way to get poor. Following after vain persons, chapter 28, verse 19, and hastening to be rich. Okay, you know, chapter 28, verse 22, you know, just, I got to be rich no matter what the cost, whatever I got to do, and cutting corners, and you'll end up poor. all of those are, there's so many actions that will more than likely result in poverty, and we'll see a lot of that. Proverbs talks about the thoughts of the wicked, the thoughts of the wicked. And we'll look at the many verses on the fear of the Lord. There's a lot said in Proverbs about finances, about money matters. There's 34 separate and isolated facts or statements made about wise men in Proverbs. And we'll study that. And there's also 17 better things that are listed in Proverbs. It is better to do this than to do that, that kind of stuff. Better things. So we'll see what those are. 17 of them. And so really what we're going to find as we begin is that Proverbs requires very little in the way of instruction or the way of explanation. Kind of makes my job easy because most of this you're going to be able to understand without me having to explain it to you. Okay, it's very clear. It's very self-evident. It's exactly what truths are being set forth here in the Bible. Okay, so go to chapter 1. Let's begin our study now in chapter 1. That's just an overview there. Chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Okay, well, David was king. Solomon is king, writing these words. To know wisdom and instruction. Okay, well, instruction, I'd say, is the information. Okay, wisdom is knowing what to do with that information. Now, we've got some wise people in our world, but they lack correct information. And then we've got people in our world with a whole lot of information, and they obviously don't know what to do with the information that they have. And well, thank the Lord that in the Holy Bible, we get both the wisdom and the instruction. We get the information and the practical application, what to do with that information. Then it says, to perceive the words of understanding. Okay. Well, you've witnessed to enough people, I think you have, to know that just hearing God's word is not sufficient. We've got to understand it. A person has got to understand what they're hearing. And people read it and they come out with all kinds of crazy ideas. Brother Emmanuel just sent me something today, big long list. Some look to me like some atheist just did some kind of a search on the Bible looking for the things that he could post that would be shocking to people and turn them away from God. That's because he doesn't have any understanding at all of spiritual things, and that's what you end up with. And people study the scripture. They end up not believing it, or they ridicule it. So the Lord doesn't want us to just hear the words, but to perceive the words, and not just to even go so far as to memorize them or to study them, but to actually understand and comprehend what is right before them. All right, verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Okay, now here's what's necessary on our part. A man can teach us. A man can preach to us. A man can expound upon the scripture in our hearing, but we have got to receive it. The Bible says, talking about the gospel, that it is preached in all the world, but it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, everybody in your town has a Savior right now. Most of them, though, have not received the Savior. Okay? Everybody in your town has somebody right now that would take away their sins. But not everybody has received him. And in like manner, we sit tonight in front of a book that can give us the instruction of wisdom, as it says in this verse. It can give it to us. It's there. It's for us. But we've got to receive it, that instruction, that wisdom. You can't ridicule it. You can't ignore it. You can't make light of it or set yourself over it. You know, you've got to receive it for it to do you any good. And the instruction of, so that's the instruction of wisdom, and then it says justice. Justice. Well, we know God is a just God. He doesn't treat everybody the same, but he treats everybody that does the same things the same way. He's no respecter of persons. And we'll see that in a number of places in Proverbs. We live in a world that where if a man who's in favor with the people, you know, he's popular, he's famous, he's rich, everybody likes him. If that person commits a crime, he's dealt with one way. And then if another man who's out of favor, you know, people don't like this guy, if he commits a crime, he's dealt with another way. Well, the Bible would teach us justice. You find out what is right, and you do what's right across the board. Okay? You find out how things should be handled, and you handle them that way universally. Okay, so that's what Proverbs is here to teach us. Instruction of wisdom, instruction of justice, and judgment. And judgment. We have to make judgments continually. You judge, for example, the red light versus the green light when you're driving a car. You judge the rotten food versus the fresh food when you're in the store shopping, right? That's judgment. And so this book is written so that we are able, if we would hide God's word in our heart, and particularly this book of Proverbs, it would take a lot of the debate, the reason, and the confusion out of life if we do that. For example, the reason you take a young person and you first give them a learner's permit and not a driver's license is not because that young person doesn't know that red means stop and green means go. It's because you want them to be in a situation over and over and over again where they see that light go from green to yellow to red. And they have time with an instructor who's always sitting beside them to learn how to handle that situation properly, so that hopefully at the end of the time that they've got that learner's permit, by the time they get that driver's license, they know how to make judgments instantly, on the spot, right? And they'll be right judgments, correct judgments. If you're a brand new Christian, we would expect you to wrestle with many decisions throughout the day. We would expect you to wonder, what do I do? How do I do it? Let me ask this person. Let me ask that person. We would expect that there would be a great deal of confusion or of hesitation or delay, a lot of mistakes, trial and error. But this book of Proverbs, it's written so hopefully we can quickly mature to the place in our spiritual life where I just know in a moment how to respond to that, how to handle that situation, how to react when that thing comes my way. And rather than judging or judgment being a bad word or a negative thing, it's an absolute essential. Can't do without it. You have to make judgments. Here's a temptation. All right, well, you better judge right now what you're going to do. Okay, here's an opportunity. It might be passing before you can hesitate. You better know what to do, or else how would you know that? Well, these proverbs, mastered, hidden in the heart, applied to the life, they would sure go a long way in preparing us to make those judgments. And then equity and equity. Whether it's sowing or reaping, whether it's relationships, whatever the case might be, we are storing up today the situations and circumstances that we are going to face tomorrow. This is how we're taught to live. This is how we're taught to live out in the world. This is what the world will teach you how to live. Live for right now. Live for the moment. It's Friday night. Go get drunk. Don't worry about Saturday morning. Here's a credit card. Spend a fortune. Don't worry about how you're going to pay it. Pay it off. You use that plastic. See, we're taught by the world to just right now do what you feel like doing and have no thought for the long-term outcome of that thing, that action. And the Lord says, well, I'll give you this book of Proverbs so you can live equitably, so things can equal out, balance out, so that you don't get so far into debt, in debt to sin, or so far in debt to man, or so far in debt to the flesh, that you can't pay your way out. He said, I want you to keep a good balance on your ledger, sowing and reaping. Those of us that are older would tell those who are younger that the things you do spiritually, physically, the things you put in your mind, the things that you do to and with your body at the age of 20, you think at 25, that the age of 25, that you got away with it. You think so. But the day is going to come when all of those bills come due. All of those investments mature. This book of Proverbs, it's written to the young man, but it benefits all of us who believe. But it's written with the idea of, look, don't learn the hard way. Here's what I've learned. Here's what God has taught me. I've been a child. I've been a man. I've been a king. I've been a son. I've been a father. I've been a husband. I've been a warrior. I've been a builder. I've done it all. So with God-given wisdom, let me tell you how to live at the age of 30. So when you're 60, you'll have a better 60 than I had because your accounts were kept in good balance. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so verse number 4, to give subtlety to the simple. to the young man knowledge and discretion. All right, now it's not wrong to be simple. It's wrong to stay simple. Okay, if you can do better, that is. If you can do better. All right, so let's go over one of the great myths of this current failed generation. Everybody is not equal. All right, everybody is not the same. Some people, mathematics comes to them instinctively, and English is impossible. Other people, English comes naturally. Math, they can't get it though. They can't do math. Everybody's different. Now, we all started out in the spiritual world, and we all start out in the practical world simple. That's the beginning. That's the start. You start simple. I mean, you wouldn't expect a three-year-old or a four-year-old to not fall for the, "You want it? I can't have it." You know, they'll fall for that every time. "Oh, let me pull a coin out of your ear." Right? "I got your nose." I've seen little kids actually think you got their nose and they start crying. Put it back, Daddy. That's simple. They're simple. Okay? They believe it. Okay? You can fool a child. You can deceive a child. You can mislead a child. You can promise a child the world. You can tell them that the moon is made out of cheese. You can tell them there's monsters under the bed, right? They're simple. But nobody would criticize them for being simple. That's what you expect. Now, if at 25, they're still believing that there's monsters under the bed, and that man came from apes, you know, in one of those other fairy tales, then there's a problem. Okay, so if you're a brand new Christian, if you just got saved and you went into a Christian bookstore and the guy that's running the place says, "Do you want a Bible? Well, we've got 30 different translations and they're all wonderful." Nobody would fault you. You're a brand new Christian. Nobody would think less of you for believing that. But you need to mature, to learn, to develop, to understand, and not to stay simple. Okay, so this book of Proverbs, it's written to give subtlety to the simple. Okay, to give subtlety, it's to know when you're being conned, to know when you're being deceived, to know when somebody's playing with you, to know when there's an attempt being made to take advantage of you, of your simple mind. I mean, listen, this is why there's laws in every country, or most of them, I believe. Why is it, in America, it's wrong, it's against the law for an 18-year-old boy to be fooling around with an 11-year-old girl? Why? Because she is simple. He is subtle, she is simple. Okay, it's not proper, it's not right. Why? Because it's easy for him to take advantage of her. He can tell her a story that she'll easily believe. What's going on in the world of religion? Why do educated people look at these con men on religious TV? Why do they follow these crooks in many a pulpit and make fun of Christianity? Well, because these men with their subtlety are abusing the simple. And it's an offense to people who have matured beyond simplicity. So this book of Proverbs, it's written so that by the grace of God and through the instruction of the Lord, you don't spend your whole life being conned. You're not deceived. You're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And you're not taken in by every new fad, every new heresy that floats through the church house. You get some grounding and some establishment underneath it. And we need that. to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And this is the great thing about the Bible. With God's word, I can sit down and read the wisdom of the ages given by the inspiration of God. And with that, I can be wiser at 16 than my Christ-rejecting grandfather is at 65. Why? Well, he spent his life climbing no higher than Budweiser or San Miguel or YouTube. And I got the word of God. Okay? We ought to be able to excel in understanding and wisdom. And when I say knowledge, I don't mean the knowledge necessarily of sciences or philosophies or liberal arts, that kind of knowledge. And I'm not criticizing any of that. But I'm talking about the knowledge to know how, for example, how to stay married, to know how to raise children who don't end up in jail, to know how to be sober instead of a drunkard, to know how to be an honorable man instead of a bum. This world doesn't know that. You won't learn that in the world. They point the finger and they say, the problem in our world is that there's so much poverty out there. Poverty. Well, there's no poverty today, at least not in America, that would compare with what we had there in the Great Depression in 1929 to 39. And back then, they didn't have all this stabbing and killing and raping and looting and murdering and destruction going on like we see today. You say, oh, well, the problem is lack of education. Well, the people that lived through that Great Depression, those people didn't go to high school. Everybody didn't have a college degree. I'll tell you what they had. They had a Bible. They had a Bible. They had a Bible foundation in their heart, in their mind, in their soul. They had a fear of God and a knowledge of the truth. They knew it was wrong to harm a woman. They knew it was wrong to harm a child. They knew you didn't steal something that didn't belong to you. Well, I'm hungry. Well, you better pray or do something, but you do not steal. Well, I'm angry. Okay, well, everybody gets angry, but you don't shoot somebody in the face because you're angry. So what we have available to us as young men, knowledge as young men, discretion's next, it's defined, we looked that up in the dictionary today, that it's defined as that discernment which enables a person to judge critically of what is correct and proper, united with caution, nice discernment and judgment, directed by circumspection. Now that is that circumspection, that's paying attention, what's going on. Okay, to all the facts, getting all the facts, all the circumstances, so that you can choose the correct conduct. Okay, discretion. And we sure are lacking that. Right? The world, I mean, the world's always been the world. There's God, and then there's the world, right? And there's the church, and there's the world. But the world used to be more discreet. Okay? They started, for example, making movies. When they first started making movies, you'd go to a movie in like the 1940s, 1950s, and you'd see on the screen the man and the woman, they would embrace, and they would begin to kiss each other, and then the scene would fade out. It's over with. You don't see anything. Okay? Now people are bored with pornography because there's no discretion today. Boys, young boys used to wonder what girls looked like without their clothes on. Now all they got to do is go to school. They're walking around with everything exposed. They got no discretion in their songs. Can you believe it? The parents in my generation, they were outraged. They got mad by four men with suits and ties who were singing, "I Want to Hold Your Hand." Think about that. What have we lost? We've lost discretion. And the Holy Bible will teach you to hold your tongue, to control your emotions, to govern your actions, to cover up your flesh, to not give in to your animal passions every time they tap you on the shoulder and say, "What about me?" This world, it's really lacking in discretion, so you better get that from the Holy Bible. Okay, we're going to stop there. What we're going to find is that there may or may not be a convenient place to end our lessons if I attempt to limit them to 30 minutes like this. There's actually two more verses in this chapter to complete this introductory section, but those, I determined that those two verses could add an additional 10 minutes to our study, so we need to make sure we have enough time to go over the prayer list tonight, so we'll stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you cared enough to give us these words of wisdom, that we may become wise by receiving them. We thank you for the knowledge that's in there that this world can't give us, but you want to give it to us, and we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to get further and further from that simple-minded way and to become more and more wise as we go on through this study of Proverbs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.